If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and thank you for gathering us together, Lord. I ask that you be with us as we study thy word, Lord. Your word is truth, Lord. Help us to be good ground that it may bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message is called Empty Handed. Empty Handed. You know, there's some folks who say, you know, I wish the Bible had pictures in it. I tell you what, the Bible is full of pictures. You just got to read it. Amen? There is a study in the Bible called typology. Typology, and there are Old Testament types of New Testament doctrines. Now, understand that these events in the Old Testament literally happened. They literally happened. Don't be confused by that, but there are types in the Old Testament of New Testament things. So the title of this message is called Empty Handed. Genesis chapter 41, we'll begin reading in verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed. Kine is cattle. And they fed in a meadow, and behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river, and the ill-favored, lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them, and the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. So Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, and there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto the Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward with the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dream. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Understand this, before I read any further, Joseph was in a dungeon with 2 men. One was a baker and one was a butler. If you've studied types any, you know that Joseph is a type or a picture of Christ. The butler was squeezing grapes into the Pharaoh's cup. That is a picture of the Lord's blood being shed. And the baker, what does a baker make? He makes bread. That is a picture of the Lord's body. Whenever you observe the Lord's Supper, that's the unleavened bread is a symbol of the Lord's body. Well, the baker was hung on a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ was hung on a tree. He was crucified. He shed his blood like the butler was squeezing grapes into the Pharaoh's cup. Well, whenever Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, he is promoted to the right hand of Pharaoh. Whenever Jesus Christ rose from the grave, he is at the right hand of the Father. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, Is it not in me? God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood on the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed, well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, very poor and very ill-favored and lean flesh, such as I never saw in the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind, and when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning, so I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Seven good kine are 7 years, and seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there are 7 years of great plenty throughout all of the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. He's basically saying, take 20% of the crop each year during these 7 years of plenty, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food for the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all the people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph took off his ring from his hand, and Pharaoh took off the ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures and fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and make him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name I can't pronounce it, so it starts with a Z and ends with H. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food out of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea. That's a lot of corn, isn't it? Very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came. And Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil in all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come according to Joseph, as Joseph hath said. And the dearth was in all the land, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried unto Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. And the famine was all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened up the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the land. So what does this have to do with being empty-handed? Every land surrounding every other land, the crops were spent. They had no crops. Corn is a picture in this context of righteousness. The Lord has plenty of righteousness, but we have none. And whenever one gets saved, you receive the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. All of these people came to Joseph with no food. They had none. But he gave them corn, wheat, to get them through. And it basically imputed them corn. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ imputes righteousness. And they couldn't go to no other place. He was the only way they can get food. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way you and I can be saved. You and I are the only, we have no righteousness. Jesus is the only way you and I can be saved. We have no righteousness. So, Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in this context. We have no righteousness, and he has an abundance. The title of the message is called Empty Handed. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. We see people coming to Jesus empty handed. Mark chapter 5. We read in verse 21, Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Whenever you come to the Lord with a need, you come to him empty-handed. And we see about this woman with an issue of blood. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of the physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing bettered, rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he, looking around about to see her that had done this thing, and the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Whenever you come to Jesus, do you come to him empty-handed, or do you try to bribe him? Do you try to bribe the Lord in meeting your need? The Lord Jesus Christ was crowded. He was on his way to go heal a little girl that was at the point of death. And it was a ruler of the synagogue that asked this of him. And this woman probably is observing that this man who is coming to him to ask him to heal his daughter is far more important than I am. And I'm broke. I've spent all of my money on physicians that could not heal me. She had no money to give him. And she thought, well, I might make him unclean because a woman with an issue of blood was unclean. She had no faith. She couldn't go into the synagogue. She couldn't go into the temple because she was considered unclean. And she thought, well, what if I just touch the hem of his garment? But you can't make the Lord unclean. Amen? But she thought, but I could just touch the hem of his garment and be healed. And she touched the hem of his garment. She had no money to give him. She didn't have anything to offer him, just simple faith. She touched the hem of his garment. So, she came to him empty-handed. Do you have a need? Do you have faith? Do you approach the Lord with nothing to offer but everything to receive? Or do you try to bribe the Lord? "Lord, if you'll just do this for me, I'll do that for you. Lord, if you'll just help me in this situation, I'll do that for you." The Lord is not interested in anything you have to offer him. He just wants your faith. Amen? That's a problem that many people get into. Many give up because they've tried everything but trust him. They have tried everything but trust him. She just touched the hem of his garment. No money, no good works, nothing fancy, just empty hands and simple faith. TV preachers have ruined the faith. Just give so many dollars and I'll pray for you. And then they have trained a bunch of people to think this way. Just give this much money and we'll pray for you. God will bless you if you just give this much money. No, you come to him empty-handed and simple faith. Do not try to bribe God. Amen? Simple faith. There's empty hands in forgiveness. You and I have no righteousness whatsoever, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? No good works. Luke chapter 7, verse 41. Luke chapter 7, verse 41. "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay," they were empty-handed, "when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most." And he said unto them, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned unto the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them, but with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. But my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins are, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy what? Faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. He didn't say, You washing my feet saved you. He didn't say, Your tears saved you. He said, Your faith saved you. So these two debtors in this parable that he was speaking to Simon about, these two debtors, one had a bigger debt and one had a smaller debt, but they came and they received the same forgiveness, the very same forgiveness. And it said that they were empty-handed. They had nothing to pay. Let me tell you, the Lord forgave us of a debt that none of us could afford to pay. None of us could afford to pay. But he talked about those who love more than others. Think about it like this. A child gets saved just like the 40-year-old drunk does. They have to come to the Lord as a sinner, understand that they're lost and hell-bound, empty-handed. I have no works, no good works to offer you, just simple faith and trust. No good works, nothing in their hands to offer him, just simple faith. Lord, will you forgive me? Simple faith. Simple faith. Too many boast about their testimony today. Too many people think that they're just more saved than the other person. You see it all the time. There's people who get saved at a young age, and then they look down at that person who's a new babe in Christ, and they're not as patient with new believers. Listen, not everybody grew up memorizing Psalm 23, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not everybody grew up in church. Not everybody grew up watching VeggieTales. Not everybody grew up with a mom and dad that was praying for them every step of the way. And whenever you see somebody who gets saved later in life, they're not going to understand much. Be patient with them. Be patient with them. And then you have some folks who get saved later in life and they have that zeal, that love, and man, they're on fire for God. And then they boast in their zeal and they boast in their testimony. Well, I got saved out of this and the Lord brought me up out of the pool halls. The Lord brought me up out of the bar scene. And whenever I went to that altar and prayed, I cried. And oh, bless God, if you didn't cry like I did, you didn't get what I got. Oh, you hear that all the time. It's pride. It's pride talking. The birds were singing Amazing Grace, and if you didn't hear them birds singing Amazing Grace, you didn't get what I got. I've heard preachers preach like that before, and there's folks that got saved at the age of 5 and 6 getting uncomfortable. Understand that that God saves kids just like He saves adults. He saved the kids out of sin too. While they may not have spent years and years in the bar scenes, while they may not have spent years and years in the pool halls, while they haven't spent years and years on drugs, they still are sinners. And God saved them out of sin, just like they saved the 40-year-old drunk. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Everybody must come to the Lord empty-handed. I have no goodness to offer. I have no good works that can save me. Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm trusting You to save me. Simple faith. Both debtors were equally forgiven. And they were saved or forgiven apart from anything that they did. It was simple forgiveness. The ground is level at the foot of a cross. The Lord Jesus Christ paid a debt that no one could afford to pay. None of us can afford to pay that sin debt that's weighing on our shoulders. He paid it all on that old rugged cross. He bought you and I with His precious blood. What a Savior. What a Savior. There are many that teach today that you can work your way to heaven. That is the farthest thing from the truth. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Better yet, let's go to Romans. That's closer. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. But not before God. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Let's keep going to the right. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Most of you can quote it, but I like to make you turn there. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I gave you a present, say, hey, it's totally free. I gave you a present, and I hand it to you, and I say, now that'll be $5. Is it a gift? No, it's no longer a gift. But by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And there are many people who have an armload of works that think that they're going to impress God with. Let's just say I handed you something. Let's just say I got something. I handed this to Eddie. And I gave him another thing. And he's got his arms full of stuff. I say, Can you accept this one more thing? He said, I can't accept this because my hands are already full. God ain't going to share a seat with your works. You have to receive all of Him. You're not going to receive all of Him if your hands are not empty. If you're trying to hold on to your good works, you don't have a hand free to latch on to the grace of God. Empty-handed, coming to the Lord, empty-handed. Turn with me to Titus. Let's keep going to the right. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His, what? Mercy, He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I have a really, really good friend. He's a preacher. And he was telling me of a man he was witnessing to. And he visited this man, and this man was real well off. He was real wealthy, and they were just good friends, and he was witnessing to him and everything. And his wealthy friend wrote him a check for $10,000, and he said,
tell God to do me a favor. I'm reaching the end of my life, and I want God to do me a favor, wink, wink, and let me in. He said, I ain't taking that check. He said, I ain't taking that check. He said, I'm not about to give you a false hope and make you think that money's going to buy your way into heaven. He said, I'm not going to give you that kind of false hope. He said, you come to Christ and trust Him alone, and you'll be saved. Trust in Christ alone. Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross, and He was buried, and He rose from the grave on the third and glorious day. And yet there are people who think, well, my works are good enough. Some people have a handful of works that they think will impress God. Well, I got baptized. That ain't going to save you. Well, I'm a church member. That ain't going to save you. Well, I was good in my community service. That ain't going to save you. I was a good soldier in the military. That ain't going to save you. You think God is impressed with your good works? Do you think God is impressed with your religion? He is not. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No good works in the context. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. We talked about coming to the Lord empty-handed for a need. We talked about Him coming to the Lord empty-handed for salvation. You say, what if I'm already saved, but I'm backslidden? You come to Him empty-handed. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 12. Verse 11, Marietta. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And He said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. Understand, this man is already a son. If you're saved, you're already a child of God. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So this man took this fortune that he had and he just wasted it all on riotous living. And when he had spent all, he had nothing to give. He spent it all. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. So he had nothing to bring home with him, did he? And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Was the father interested in making him a servant? Was the father interested in making him work to make him a son again? No. He said, he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. His father had to be looking for him to see him a great way off. And had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and he began to be merry. See, this son, he wanted to, let me just work for you, Dad. I'm not worthy to be your son no more. He said, you're still my son. You ain't one of my servants. Dinner's in the oven. He came to his dad thinking he was going to be a servant. All his dad wanted him was to come home empty-handed, not interested in what work, kind of work he can do. Just come home empty-handed. Empty hands, an honest heart, and simple faith. Simple faith. You can't lose your salvation. Just come home empty-handed. Don't try to make a deal with God. Don't try to say, Lord, if you just do this for me, I'll do that for you. Don't try to deal with God. Every one of these examples, every one of these illustrations, they had spent all. They had spent all and came with empty-handed. They came empty-handed. Is your peace spent? You have no peace? Have you spent all your peace? Come to the Lord empty-handed, and He'll give you peace. Why don't you come? Father, I preach the Word, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that it falls on good ground. I pray that it'll bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you in here today and you've never been saved? Don't try to work your way to heaven. Come to Him empty-handed. I have no righteousness. I have no good works. Just come to Him empty-handed and receive Him as your Savior. Trust Him alone and what He did for you on that old rugged cross. Are you saved and you know you're saved? Maybe your walk with the Lord isn't what it ought to be. Don't try to bribe God. Don't try to make deals with God. Just come to Him empty-handed and receive His mercy. Do you have a need? Do you have a burden, a worry? Are you lacking peace? Don't try to bribe God. Don't try to make deals. Just come to Him empty-handed. Simple faith, empty hands, and an honest heart. Why don't you come?